every tidbit or every little gift that a dog receives is a surprise. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Instant Illumination. Every little thing that a dog gets is a surprise. Now, we may serve him his dinner, but we don't serve it to him on exactly the right time. It's an hour this way or that way, or 2 hours this way or that way. And, of course, he's happy to take it any time. And when he takes it, he's happy with it. And then he's content. Now, he comes to the table, and he, meaning Rex, our dog, Rex comes to the table, and naturally he smells all these delicious smells that our meals make. And he's very interested in those smells. And he thinks to himself, I wonder what they would be like closer up. And he proceeds to try to get as close as he can to it without having his mouth on the table, because we will not allow him to take food off the table. He takes it from his bowl or from the floor, but not from the table. So, we were feeding him a little treat left over from the plate, and then someone said, "Now, isn't it interesting? He probably thinks, I wonder if there's any more. Am I going to get some more? Can I get some more?" And I said, "What are we saying here? Are we creating that dog having that attitude that it wants more, that it wants everything?" Parents who love their children train their children to be satisfied with whatever they get, to be happy with whatever they get, not to always be looking for more, not to always be wanting more and begging for more and begging, "Can I have some more? Can I have some more?" And parents can train their children to take the smallest piece of cake and give the largest piece to the other children. And what a great attitude that builds up in the consciousness to do this. But it takes a greater attitude on the parents' side, because they say, "He wants the larger piece. He wants the larger." Well, that's the parents' idea. The kid doesn't really care one way or the other. It's an attitude that's been built into his consciousness by his parents, just like the pet owners build into their pets the attitude that they want things when they don't. Now, when Little Love, Ellen's dog, comes to the table, and Ellen is not going to give him anything that evening, which is not every evening, but that evening, and she'll say, "Basta, you know, no, nothing tonight." And he'll go and jump into his bed, and he'll lay there and say, "Okay, I tried, you know, and I didn't get any surprises tonight, but I got a happy surprise that she loved me yet, you know, and that's always good, you know." So, you see, we forget that we do this to ourselves, to our pets, to our children, to our world. We build in them the attitude that they think, we build in them the attitude that we think they think.
Yes.
We think they think the attitude that we are saying. Not that they really think it, they might, but not that they really do. It might have been the farthest thing from their mind, you know. Oftentimes, Ingeborg is sitting here thinking about something, and she's saying, I think I'll make some wood out here. I'm going to chop it up, and I'm going to do this and do that." And then we pass Ingeborg something to eat, and she says, "No, thank you." And she passes it along. And then later on, she says, "Don't I get some of that too?" And we said, "Yeah, we passed it to you." "Oh," she said, "oh, my goodness, I was concentrating on something else, and I didn't think about it, you know." And now, if we had eaten it, and Ingeborg never knew that it was there, because it was all gone, she wouldn't have missed it. Now, we think she would have missed it because she would have known it was there. But Ingeborg is a very concentrated person on whatever she's doing. And so, therefore, things like that can go by her without her even knowing it. Now, the same is true for Rex. This, you'll say, is obvious. But when I give Rex something he doesn't prefer to eat, he could just as soon not have had that. If I give him a piece of lettuce, he says, "There's no taste on it. There's no flavor on it, you know." And I say, "Rex doesn't like lettuce." Well, it's not that Rex doesn't like lettuce. It's that Rex likes to have the meat juice. And if you put meat juice on lettuce, the lettuce is gone. You know? And so, you see, we create our own world and our own illusions. We create our own experiences and our own attitudes. And what sort of an attitude would a proper pet owner have toward his dog or cat or lizard or mouse or whatever? A proper pet owner toward their dearly beloved pet would say, "You eat your food, I eat my food. This is a tradition we're going to have, and we're not going to change it. I don't make you happy by having a piece of my food. I make me happy by giving you a piece of my food, thinking you enjoy it so much when you really don't enjoy it, but you enjoy doing it because you think I enjoy having you do it, so you enjoy it for me. And it's my attitude that you're taking on. It's not your attitude at all." And if we would just not give our pets any table scraps, in fact, this is what the vet recommends, not give the pet any table scraps, just give them our love. Say, "Sit there, you can join us, and you can sit with us. You've had your meal already." Usually that's the case. And the dog is perfectly happy. But if he thinks he can get... I give Rex part of my banana every breakfast. And when that banana is gone, he is gone. Mm-hmm. He doesn't stay by me because he knows that's what he's going to get, a part of my banana. And when that part of my banana is over, he is history, you know, or I am history. And he's off doing his own thing. Now, that's not bad. But you see, it just points out so strongly that these are habits we build up. And as we have a habit of not wanting the dog to jump on people, for instance, that's because, "Oh, isn't he happy? Isn't he frisky? Isn't he delightful?" No! He is out of control. And when he is out of his control, he is not a happy dog to have around. When Rex is not a happy, when Rex is out of his control and jumping and leaping and coming down on top of little Love, you know, 1/5 his size, or a third, or no, 16th maybe, what would you say? Very small compared to that, like a chihuahua and a monster, you know. And he comes down and he doesn't want to hurt little Love, he just wants to play with him and, you know, bat him around, you know, like a little kitten or a little mouse. And little Love doesn't take to that. And he said, "Rawr, out of my way, you know, back off, back off, back off." But the thing is, we are the ones who do that. Isn't that cute? Isn't that cute? No, it isn't cute. Now, Rex, you can play, but be gentle with little Love. We teach our children to be gentle with their younger kids, you know, and we should certainly teach our pets to be gentle with smaller pets than they, as well as ourselves. Because Rex loves to come and put his foot on our arm. And he wants to say, "I love you, pet me, pet me, pet me." Well, his foot is a rough foot from running up and down the mountains and running all over the 104 acres here. And he's got rough feet. And so when he withdraws his foot gently off of your arm, he takes part of your flesh along with it, not meaning to at all. So he has to be taught that he's a big lummox and that he must learn to be controlled of himself. When he comes up, he can take his head and he can nuzzle it against your arm. That's nice, you know. Or even take his body, he's so tall, and nuzzle it against your arm or your leg or whatever. Just like that's what the cats do. Whenever a cat takes out his claws, what happens? That's it. That's it. I don't want anything more to do with you. If you can't control yourself with your claws, I don't want anything more to do with you. And so, you see, this is how it goes. This is how it goes. We have to be master of ourselves. Now, Ellen has just fallen into the trap again. She took a piece of bread, and she wanted to give a little piece to her kid, little Love. And so she ends up giving the large piece to Rex, and he doesn't need it. Rex is a solid dog. He is king size for a golden retriever. And anybody who comes up and straddles him, even an adult, feels like they're sitting on a small pony. He's a husky guy, a real husky guy. But we have to learn these things because we forget that the rest of the world takes on our attitudes immediately, our attitudes immediately, our attitudes immediately. Haven't we said that before? Mm-hmm. If you think unhappy thoughts, the rest of the world's thinking it. If you think happy thoughts, the rest of the world is thinking it. If you do nice things, the rest of the world applauds it. If you do naughty things, the rest of the world says, oh, no, 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 no. Or people who don't do nice things want to be in your company. And that is not a favorable activity for you to be engaged in, because you have people who are not nice in your company, and you're known by the people you keep company with, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. No one's going to trust you. If they are naughty boys who steal, they're going to think you steal. If they are naughty boys who take advantage of other people, they're going to think you do that. If they're bullies, then they're going to think you're a bully, because you're known by the people you associate. You can't dare to be with anybody who is unlike you. Now, I've walked with groups of people many times, especially in prisons. And as I'm walking with them, they begin to foul mouth. And then one in the group knows that I'm a minister, and he immediately says, hey, Herb's a minister. Respect him. And I say to them, hey, that's okay. Say anything you want, swear, do anything you want, but respect yourself. If you think that it's not respectful, you shouldn't do it. But it's respecting yourself, not me, because I respect me, and that's enough for me, and I'm a happy person, and I am very fulfilled in every way. And as they walk, what sort of a kook is he? What sort of? And they're back the next day, wanting more talk, wanting more understanding of what I'm telling them. And they say, you know, I thought about what you said, and it was stupid at first, because it was so totally against what I believe and what I practice, but you know, you're right. You're right. That's what I told my little children. That's what my wife has always told me. That's what my friends have told me, you know. And I said, poo-poo to you, you know. Let's go rob another bank, you know. And, you know, that's what people do. And they think that it's okay because they're associating with other bank robbers. Well, you want to associate with lovers, with peaceful people, with creative people. You want to associate with geniuses. You want to associate with Bill Gateses, you know. Mm-hmm. You want to associate with all these wonderful people. Now, the story about Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. Bill Gates went to visit Warren Buffett, and Warren is his senior, and Bill the junior, of course. And Bill went for the visit and was planning on being there a half an hour, you know, or maybe less. And after he started talking to Warren Buffett, Warren Buffett was such a down-to-earth man, such a sincere, beautiful person, that Bill Gates immediately felt simpatico with him. And that's pretty wonderful. And that's what we all can do. We can feel simpatico for the world, because the world is our reflection. If you are doing anything and the world is out there being unkind, you just keep right on being kind in your heart. Keep right on loving them, thinking good thoughts about them. Do not even think the thought about the unkind things that are happening. Just the good thoughts. And when you do that, do you know what's going to happen? When you do that, then the tide will change. The current will change. The situation will not change, but the goodness that is there will come out. Because it's there. It's always there. We reveal everything we want, if we want to. Are you ready to reveal what you want? It's okay. It's okay. Are you ready to reveal what you want?
Yes.
If you're ready to reveal what you want, go for it. But just remember, if you are a son of a gun, remember, that's what your world is. And if you are a son of an angel, you know, hey, how about that? Son of an angel. You're a son of an angel. Isn't that a nice way for that phrase to come about? And what kind of person is a son of an angel? What do they say about the sons of ministers? They say, oh, they're the little hellions, because they have to behave so much at home, they go out and fool around. Well, that's not true. That's not true. The minister's kids have a built-in quality about them. They may look like they're helling around, but they're really not, because if you can see what they're doing with the other kids who are helling around, The ministers are doing like their fathers. They're ministering unto the flock, and in a loving way, not a way in which they'll be kicked out on their backside, but in a way that the group that they're with, they'll say, that's an interesting idea. I hadn't thought of it that way. Not judgment. See? No judgment. If the minister's kid were to judge the people he was with, then they'd sense that right away, and right away they'd say, we don't want you around here. We don't want you here at all. We're going to give you a hot foot. And you see the dogs and the cats and the pets and the children and the other people in the world, all adults, are responsive to our attitude. And if our attitude is our pets want treats, then that's what they want. If our attitude is our pets enjoy their meals and they're enough, wouldn't you like to have someone help you with your attitude? Wouldn't you like to have someone help you to stay away from the tidbits in between meals? Wouldn't you like to have someone help you to keep away from going to get cake or candy or ice cream or cookies or whatever in between meals? Wouldn't that be nice if someone would help you and not available to you? Oh, dogs will jump up and do something once in a while crazy like Gertrude's dog, taking a whole box of chocolates and eating the whole thing, you know, and then having one or two left over and hiding them under a blanket. But, you know, that, and really, the bad thing about that is we laugh. You see, then we laugh, and that is not very pleasant. If we would just say, I see Luna, Gertrude's dog, totally in charge of her appetite, and she eats foods that are good for her and healthy for her for a long, healthy life. Oh, see, a dog can eat a lot of things that they shouldn't and look okay for a long time, and then all of a sudden it takes after them, kajam, you know, and they're really in trouble. So that pays to feed them right, and it pays to feed ourselves right, and it pays to have the right attitude above all in the things that we're doing. Attitude's fun. Think about it. It is a lot of fun. And know that I have the right attitude about myself. I like me, and I think I'm just great, too. Ha, 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 ha. And I like you, and I think you're just great. And you're my reflection. You're my revelation. And I love you, I love you, I love you.
Thank you, I love you.